Welcome to Changed by Love Radio with Pastor Jim Kevney. Pastor Jim's desire is to teach the Word of God with passion and simplicity, as well as a direct application to our daily lives.
Maybe Jesus is saying we have to press on to the disciples, no matter the opposition that we're getting from the religious leaders. Perhaps he's telling us, guys, you gotta press on. Don't worry about the opposition. I will take care of them in due time. Okay? Don't ignore them. Don't make foolish decisions, but press on. It could be a hint that the night is coming, the cross, but the light will return at the day of resurrection. It could be our time is limited on earth, and he's saying, come on, let's get to it.
In a battle, there's always opposition, and the soldiers have to trust that everyone is fighting the battles they're supposed to fight so they can keep pressing on. In today's message, Pastor Jim reminds us that God is fighting our battles. You don't need to worry because God's got it all under control. You can have confidence in Him because He knows all. Depend on Him to fight your battles and see how much more confidence you can have as you live your everyday life. He's for you. Trust Him today. Well, let's join Pastor Jim in the book of Ephesians chapter 2 as he continues his message, Seeing the True Light of God.
Most people don't have good works, you know, like, oh, I gave the waitress a good tip. Well, okay, thanks. I'm sure heaven was rocking on that one. Right? And so, you know, we just have to just really think about that, okay? So people don't like works. And other people think that none of this ever really matters, right? But in the Bible, this is the way we see it. We see Jesus call people what? Follow me. That's what we call the effectual call. There is a call, there is a power of the Word of God calling you to put your faith and trust in Him, okay? And then you are called to live out your faith, okay? And that varies for all of us. Now you say, well, I'm not so sure I'm in that. Well, let's see classic verses that give us the balance. Very famous verses, Ephesians 2, 8 through 10, okay? For by grace you have been saved through faith. Okay? So it's the grace of God that saves you through faith and not of yourselves. So did you do it?
Nope.
Bad answer. Louder. Did you do it?
No.
No. Okay? It is the gift of God. So it was a what? Gift. Very good. See, you guys should be up here teaching this thing. I can go rest, okay? All right, it's the gift of God, not of works. Wait a minute. Where's my good, I gave that guy a good tip. Let me get my money back, okay? Right? No. All right? Not of works, lest anyone should boast. Right? So do we boast in our good works? No. Now watch this, verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand for a follower of Jesus that we should walk in them. So what happens is God takes you, you put your trust in Jesus through faith, you receive the gift of God. People can argue about the order, fine. Another discussion for another day. If you want to go out and talk about it, we'll have lunch, you pay, okay? And so we go out there, we are saved by grace, not of our works, so we don't boast. But after we become followers of Jesus, after our destination is changed from literally from hell to heaven, okay, we learned that in chapter 3, okay, then he has prepared these good works for us in advance. Now think about your life. Many of you have gifts that God has given to you to use for the kingdom of God. And a lot of you are like, well, I don't really know what my gift is. Well, you just got to get going. You just got to get going and just give it a try. Don't be afraid. Remember when I was at the church that sent me up here, okay? I guess they just wanted to get rid of me, tired of me or something like that. But anyway, I taught to the youth group there. There was over 100 kids there. And they called me at work on a Friday afternoon and said, can you teach the youth group tonight? I said, sure, I could teach the youth group tonight. They said, you have a sermon ready? I said, yes. They go, why do you have a sermon ready? I go, I don't know. I just write them. Doesn't everybody do that? No. Okay. So I go there. And then the next week, they call me in. I'm like, oh no, I'm gonna get booted out of this church. What am I gonna happen? I don't know, oh man. And so, met with Pastor Ed. Pastor Ed spoke here after I had my back surgery, was one of the preachers that came here. And he says to me, "We got a lot of calls regarding your message last Friday night." I was like, "Oh, I'm sorry, man." He goes, "Just listen to me." And he said, "People, the parents were all calling and said, normally my kids get in the car, I ask them what the message was about, and they have absolutely no idea." All teenagers, no idea. And they said, "But this time they got in the car and they were giving me the sermon." And he goes, "And I listened to it." I said, "Oh no." And he goes, "It was really good." And I said, "Really?" And he goes, "How long have you been doing this?" I go, "Well, that's about it." And he said, "Well, we gotta figure out what we're gonna do with you." So that was sort of the beginning of the path for me. But so many of us, we have gifts, right, and talents that we don't use. A lot of times around the church, I feel like I'm doing stuff that I have no business doing. I mean, most pastors have absolutely zero administrative skills, zero. I have some, right? But there's so many people in our church that are so much more gifted than me. Obviously, they don't let me sing up here because I can't sing at all. So we have gifted and talents that God has given you to use for his kingdom. We have resources, finances, things like that, that God has given to us. We have people in our lives that God wants us to influence. We have not being just a spiritual jerk, but just being honest with them. We have so many responsibilities. And God says in verse 10, what? "I have prepared works for you to do these in advance." So why? So people, whether you said it or not, could see how I'm active in your life. They would see it. So let us think here in chapter 9. At times, often suffering in difficult times, God uses to show Jesus Christ to other people. As a church right now, you know, you get one service to practice it and you think you could get through this. We have some brothers and sisters in our church who we love deeply. One went home to be with the Lord last week. I had the honor of being there in the room with her and her husband when she passed. And we have others that are not doing well. And to watch them be so faithful in tough times, not complaining. We complain about every little thing, don't we? And they're not complaining, telling you, "I just really sense God is with me." Famous verse, many of you know it. Romans 8:28. And we know that some things. Did I read it properly? No? What did I miss? All things. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, to those that are called according to his purpose. Loved ones, when you hang in there, when things are hard, and still love God, that speaks volumes to people. Doesn't mean you don't question God at times. I mean, I've had this past month plenty of times when I've said to God, "God, are you kidding me? I mean, this is just really hard for so many of the people who love so many of the people that are hurting." But when you are able to stay close to God, when people see how personal God is to you, when they see your God-giving ability to stand up under trials and still love God, that will speak volumes to them. And it may get under some people's skin. I get it. Now, you might be saying to me right about now, "Pastor Jim, I don't want to hear any of this. I don't want to hear any of this." Okay? Well, who does? I mean, really, who does? But I will say one thing. Keep it in mind, because if you're not in tough times now, you will need this in the future. You will need it. It is only a matter of time. And it's natural to want to get relief from your trials. It's natural to want to get relief from your difficulties. But after being a Christian for a long time now, I've learned something very, very important. And I'm going to say this one twice too. That God often wants to walk with you through your trials. He often wants to walk with you through your trials. Why? Because he is building a relationship with you that is closer to him. And Jesus Christ will use great times of difficulty to grow your faith. How many of you in this room have been married more than 20 years? Raise your hand. Look at that, okay? Look, young people, please notice what you just saw, okay? Nice and high again, over more than 20 years. Okay, all right. I know a woman in this room who last Tuesday? Yes, Tuesday. Celebrated her 36th wedding anniversary. Amen. Yeah. Pray for her. She's married to me. Every year she's like, so what's this year's adventure? Okay, right? But to be honest with you, while we've had a lot of wonderful moments in life, I would say it's been the great difficulties that have grown us closer. Because it's in those moments when we are just not necessarily absorbed in everything else and so dependent on God together. Verse 4 and 5, Jesus says, some of you have heard him say, we must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. So in verse 4, people get sidetracked between the I and the we. Is it Jesus and the disciples? Is it Jesus only? Is it Jesus and God the Father? I don't know. So in their culture, day and night, another tough question. The ancient world, day was good, night was evil. There's a whole bunch of different ways you could look at this. And this is the way John writes. He drives everybody crazy. You know, you read these books about the Gospels, and Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the books are about that thick. John's books are that thick because he uses all these double meaning words. He's a real mystic. He's really confusing. He's saying 19 things at the same time. And so, you know, what is it? Maybe Jesus is saying we have to press on to the disciples, no matter the opposition that we're getting from the religious leaders. Perhaps he's telling us, guys, you got to press on. Don't worry about the opposition. I will take care of them in due time. Okay? Don't ignore them. Don't make foolish decisions, but press on. It could be a hint that the night is coming, the cross, but the light will return at the day of resurrection. It could be our time is limited on earth, and he's saying, come on, let's get to it. It's possible Jesus is challenging them and us. We forget sometimes that when we read the Bible that God gave us the Bible. We have great reliability that it's actually what was written, that he's challenging us in so many different ways to do what this man did, to help this man like Jesus does with deeds of love and mercy, deeds of service. Do you realize that when you serve God, that is an act of worship? We think that church is just coming to worship. Some people come to church, they come on Sunday morning, and then they go live like the devil the rest of the week. Okay? But God wants us to live out our faith. Okay? Now, people often ask this, what is God's will for my life? Don't raise your hand if you ask that question because I don't want to know who I'm about to make mad. Okay? People, what is God's will for my life? Well, you know what? It's all over the Bible. The problem is what? American self-centeredness. That's the problem. We are so self-centered that we're not thinking about these things. We have so little time on this earth. So little time. Gosh, what did Jesus do? He comes down from heaven, puts on humanity, lives a perfect life in our place, and then dies on the cross for your sins and for my sins. So if you put your faith and trust in him, you do not have to pay for your sins. You go, well, how does that work? What happens is God takes your sins, if you put your faith and trust in Jesus, and puts them on Jesus on the cross. It's accounting. Any accountants here? Okay. A few of you raise your hand. Okay. See me after the service. But anyway, to God, what does God do? He takes your sins and he puts them on Jesus. And not only that, he takes the complete righteousness of Jesus who led a perfect life and he puts them to your account. So you can appear before a holy God just as if you have never sinned because you have put your trust in Jesus. And so there he is. And people say, okay, I know what's God's will for my life, okay? Jesus calls people to turn and trust in him. Jesus called it repent and believe. Turn to God, put your trust in Jesus. And I'm not talking about becoming some weird religious weirdo, okay? That's not what I'm talking about, okay? It may appear weird to some people, okay? But that's what he calls us to do, okay? And then what do? We go out and live it out. We read it in Ephesians 2, 8 through 10, right? We go live it out, right? Learn the word of God. We teach the word of God of people and we live it out. Jesus claims, says this, I am the light of the world. Similar to what he said in John 8:12, which we read earlier, and all throughout chapter 1. And as we'll see, the heart of chapter 9 is this, okay? And it will be clear that spiritual blindness is the inability to perceive the light of God. It is the inability to see God. And it's curable. But look at the beginning of verse 5. He says, as long as I am in the world, there is a sense of urgency. Now, many thought the messianic age would last forever. What they missed was there would be two comings of the Messiah. The first time as a savior, which was on a time limit. The second time as the judge. In a couple chapters, John 12, 35, Jesus says this. Then Jesus said to them, a little while longer, the light is with you. That's who? Who's the light? Jesus. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. Now watch this. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. What is Jesus saying? You don't know where you're going to end up when you die. You don't know. But I came to fix that for you. Verse 6, when he had said these things, he spat, some versions say spit, on the ground and made clay. Most versions say mud with the saliva. Got that? So he's spitting, picks up some mud, mixes them together. Okay? And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. Another version says he spread the mud on his eyes. All right, let's just stop right there. Don't do that here. Okay? Don't do that here. But Pastor Jim, it's in the Bible. Yes, you're not Jesus. Okay? Let's not forget. Verse 7. And he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. That's very important. So he went and washed and came back seeing. Okay? So he went and washed and he came back seeing. Now, we're not going to get to it today. Verse 14, if you've been with us, it's the Sabbath. Remember what happened on the Sabbath last time? He cured the man who was paralyzed, he cured him, and the religious leaders were mad. You think they're going to be happy about this one? No, they're not going to be happy about this one. Now, Bible scholars debate the medicinal value of saliva in the ancient world. I don't know. I don't want anybody spitting in my eyes. Mud's mentioned twice. Usually when something's mentioned twice, it has something to do more. It's more important. I don't want any mud in my eyes. This is weird. I know. I understand it. I'm just happy for the guy. I'm like, this is great, right? The focus is clearly on the actions of Jesus. Now, this could be a reference, go way back to the beginning of the Bible, Genesis 2:7, that God created men from dirt. Did you know that? Okay, now ladies, this is your chance to be quiet, okay? Right, we were quiet with the pregnancies before. Now, notice Jesus takes the initiative. He doesn't wait to be asked. He gives light to the man's eyes, and as we'll see later in the chapter, to the soul. This is what Jesus does all the time. He calls people to believe. He's taking the initiative towards you. If you're a follower of Jesus, you're not a follower of Jesus, thanks for coming here. He is taking the initiative towards you. And perhaps as much as anything, it has to do, this is a test of obedience. Will we do what Jesus says? Will we put our faith and trust in him. And he does obey. He goes and washes, okay? We're not told why he sent them there, okay? Maybe so the others could see. We'll see that when we, Lord willing, next week when we get to verse 8. Interesting, the pool is translated sent, and constantly we're told what? That Jesus was sent by God the Father to save sinners. And notice this, we've said it before, it's always well worth mentioning, the typical simplicity of Jesus' miracles in the gospel. Like it's nothing for him to do. And he always does something different thing kind of to flip people out. And he does it and the guy came back seeing. And as we will see, this is a picture of what we call salvation. The forgiveness of sins and the entry into heaven. Jesus comes to all of us, calls us to believe, and we must respond. Jesus and the apostles, the word of God, make the claim, without faith and trust in Jesus Christ, no one will see the true light of God, no one will see heaven. So here it's clear, physical healing becomes a symbol of spiritual healing, yet the religious leaders remain spiritually blind. So we're almost there. Next week, we will move from healing to the interrogation of the man with the people and the religious leaders. And then after that, Jesus is going to come and approach him. I love this about Jesus. He meets us where we are. And most of us can attest to that, okay? I was 28 years old, making a lot of money, working at a place in my first business that I had. And while I was there at night making a lot of money, back then, this is late 80s, 125, 150 bucks an hour. That was good money back then, right? Still is now, right? Working with a kid who was from a poor town that I knew, and he was very different, had a very different upbringing than me, and he was making $3.35 an hour. And I was miserable, and he was full of joy. And it got under my skin. It did. And I just kept asking him and asking him and asking him, and he shared Jesus Christ with me. Okay? He meets us where we are. Maybe you're here today and you're completely blind to Jesus. And you've been sitting here going, who is this guy? Who is this Jesus? And who's the guy in jeans and doesn't even tuck his shirt and telling me about him? What is going on here? You're just sitting there going like, this is freaking me out, kind of. I know what it feels like. It's kind of uncomfortable. And so you're just sitting there like, what is this? Maybe you feel so empty, and yet there's something else that seems to be filling up your heart a little bit. Or maybe you've achieved everything you wanted in life. And you thought, when I got there, I'll be so happy. And you got there and you're like, this is it? This is it? It's not working for me. Now you realize that on the cross, Jesus Christ suffered for you. Forget about this us stuff. For you. He suffered for you and for me, taking the penalty for our sins, offering us the forgiveness of sins and eternal life. And all he says is this, if you want it, all you need to do is this. This is it. Jesus said you need to repent and believe. You need to repent, turn from your sin to God. So realize you're walking that way and God's this way. You turn around to him and you say, I can't stop all this, but I need you to forgive me and I need your help. And you look up on that cross and you simply say this, he was dying for me. You know, you ask people, what does it mean Jesus died on the cross? And they go, he died on the cross for our sins. A lot of people know that pat answer, okay? But it doesn't become real to you until you say, he died on the cross for my sins. My sins. Even if the whole world was perfect, he would have had to come for me. That's when the change begins to come. It's the only way to see the true light of God. The only way to see the glory of God. And that is seen in the face of Jesus.
You have been listening to Changed by Love, the teaching ministry of Pastor Jim Kevney. We hope and pray that Pastor Jim's simple and passionate verse-by-verse, line-by-line teaching through the Gospel of John is growing you in your Christian faith. Would you like to hear this message again? Simply log on to our website, changedbyloveradio.org. There, you can listen to archived broadcasts, load our mobile app, as well as listen to Pastor Jim's easy-to-follow verse-by-verse teaching on much of the Bible. Make sure you tell your friends and family about Changed by Love on this station, as well as how to listen to Pastor Jim on our website and mobile app. Changed by Love is a listener-supported ministry that exists due to the generosity of people like you. Just go to our website, changedbyloveradio.org, and hit the donate button in order to partner with us. Your donations help us to produce more shows, purchase radio time, and do whatever it takes for Changed by Love to reach more people with the gospel. We would also love to hear from you. Please email us at changedbyloveradio@gmail.com. In the next edition of Changed by Love, Pastor Jim will continue teaching through the Gospel of John. Please join us at this same time, and please make plans to join us again to be encouraged, comforted, and challenged by the Word of God. When you write to us, please let us know where the station is, and please give us the station's name. Until then, stay close to Jesus, and we know that you too will be changed by His love.